हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 29, Chapter 75. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, the men and women of Hastinapur or Indraprastha, their bodies smeared with scents and floral oils, were nicely dressed in colorful garments and decorated with garlands, jewels, and ornaments. They were all enjoying the ceremony, and they threw on one another liquid substances like water, oil, milk, butter, and yogurt. Some even smeared these on each other's bodies. In this way, they were enjoying the occasion. The professional prostitutes were also engaged by jubilantly smearing these liquid substances on the bodies of the men, and the men reciprocated in the same way. All the liquid substances had been mixed with turmeric and saffron, and their color was lustrous yellow. And so we see is they're in the festivities, they're using all auspicious things, right? There's not, you know, I say, not nice things. So water, oil, milk, butter, yogurt, and then those are mixed with saffron and turmeric, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, one or the other, like this. Mm-hmm. So everything was a nice, bright, what it says, lustrous yellow, like that, so you know the quality is good. It's not like today, you put the turmeric in the thing and it doesn't turn yellow, it turns a little brown. Yeah, like that. So. So it's, you know, nice, bright, you know, good. It's purifying. It's good. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Surrounded by guards, King Yudhishthira's queens came out on their chariots to see the fun, just as the demigods' wives appeared in the sky in celestial airplanes. As maternal cousins and intimate friends sprinkled the queens with liquid, the ladies' faces bloomed with shy smiles, enhancing the queen's splendid beauty. So we see is that even though they're all there and they're playing like unholy you throw things and this and that, but here then they're using these auspicious. It's also who's throwing on who. Yes. Right? So it's not just anybody's throwing on anybody. It says that for the ladies it had to be someone's maternal cousins. Not paternal, maternal. Right? Because cousins are equals. Yes. You know, if they're brothers or they're something like that, but maternal cousins, they're equals. And so then, like brothers and sisters, then they can throw. But the other ones, they'll be more formal. So the mother's side will be more informal, father's side will be more formal. Right? You know,
also, one more reason that with the paternal cousins, they can get married also, like in Subodhan, Arjuna, all these things.
Oh, with the paternal.
Maternal.
Oh, they could get married. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, true, because they're a different
gotra.
Which one is the maternal. Yeah, because they're a different gotra. See, it's because your mother, your gotra is what your father's gotra is. Your mother comes, she's married into that. She's from a different gotra. So you can't marry sagotra, someone from the same gotra. So then that means the mother's, you know, brothers and sisters, they're all a different gotra. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so therefore, technically, if there was a problem, then one could marry them, but not paternal because they're the same gotra.
Would be the opposite in the relationship then?
No, it's because they're it's more relaxed. The mother's family, then they're more relaxed than the father's family.
probably more fun. Just the nature of the mother and the father. It's just like, remember one Marwari devotee was telling me that with his father he would only speak Hindi. But his mother he'd speak Marwari because it's more intimate. So it's just that would be the difference. So on his father's side of the family, all the uncle, you know, all the uncles, he'll speak in Hindi. But on the mother's side, he'll speak in Marwari. Yeah. Yeah, intimate friends. It means those who are close, who know. It's not just anybody comes up and throws stuff. It has to be someone that you know, that you have a relationship with, and it's fun. Otherwise, you know, why do you want... You know, you want somebody you don't know throwing butter on you or something? Yeah, come on.
So Maharaj, can you say that at the end of any sacrifice, like the video, it's...
It's all right to do this. Now this would go down. You know how big this would go down in France?
Yeah, I mean,
it's just like you'd increase your preaching a thousandfold. Yes. You know?
Along with the bread.
Bread?
Butter.
Oh, that's another thing. No, but I'm saying if you get out there and start throwing on each other and have this whole wild scene like that, oh, they'd all be there, right? Yeah, and how you say it. And it's like in America, you have what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I think in the French, you have the same. What happens at Carnival stays at Carnival. Right? No? Yeah. Yes. So yeah, it would be very popular. So.
But is it? It seems that it is by reading it. It's a very good sign that people are happy.
They're happy. It's a big festival. These things are arranged. So it's a matter of things in the goodness. Because point is now how could you handle? Now they're coming out dressed. They have smeared with scents and floral oils. Yes. So that means nice things. Yes. Nicely dressed in colorful garments, decorated with garlands, jewels, and ornaments.
Yes.
Now. What kind of occasion could you be dressed like that and you wouldn't mind people throwing water, oil, milk, butter, and yogurt all over you?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means what these things you have so much of means the clothes and all that you're not worried. Yeah, and so then after this, then they'll take their bath and that when they finish, they'll put on a new set of clothes. And technically, that I'm not sure if it'll mention here, but in the end of Krishna book, when Krishna would perform these kind of programs with his queens, then they would, all those clothes and ornaments and all that, those were left for all the musicians and all the people who were assisting in arranging this. You know, so for them, if it was like. There was the program and they were throwing, you know, butter and everything on each other. And then, you know, all you had to do was, and what they leave there is one of those, you know, $25,000, rupee, Banaris saris, you know, or what do you call it, Salem saris, if that works for you. And so then all you had to do was give it a wash and it's yours. Would there be a problem? No. So then, you know, they're not, you know, so everybody gets benefit. They had fun. So it's not that they have to come out in gumshoes and all that, like we do it. You just come out and, how you go to the temple dressed for, you know, a festival, that's how you go and play, you know. Yeah. And then after that, then that's given away to all the people who assist. Because you need a lot of people to assist. So then they get all these things.
Vinavanu Prabhu, he has his special set.
Just take it out. It's already purple, so then people leave you alone. They look for what's pristine white.
Yes.
Yeah. Had one devotee. He was in charge of the guest house back in the 70s. And he had this fantasy of dressing up in like super bleached white. You know, Korta and Dodi and, you know, looking really, really clean. Getting on a rickshaw during Holi and driving down to Lloyd Bazaar. But he would be surrounded by guys in wetsuits. You know wetsuits? You know those things that the divers wear?
Well, yeah.
The waterproof things, you know, face, you know, everything. Who had those big, you know, those big, huge monster cans that they use for spraying the fields? Filled with all the colors. You're surrounded by guys like that, you know, like, you know, 10, 12 guys on all sides, you know, like a military. And so he would drive through the whole of the bazaar and come back without one drop on him. But, you know, anybody who even attempted to get close would be completely obliterated. He never tried it, but it was fun talking about it.
Maharaj was going to Krishnanagar on Holi. They are specifically target white lotus.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying if you have one of those all purple, all messed up, looks bad, they're not going to, you know, if you get close enough, they'll try. But if you have a white, they'll actually make the effort to come over to where you are. Right? Yeah. Yeah, otherwise, what's the fun? If it doesn't turn purple, then what's the... Yeah, so like this before, it was all nice stuff, so it wasn't a problem either. You know, you threw sandalwood powder, you know, pollen, the gopis, and then they would make these balls out of, I think it's like resin, very super thin, like that, and then inside would be, you know, pollen or kumkum or sandalwood powder or musk, you know, all these kind of nice things, and you'd throw those. You know, if you wanted to get a lot. Otherwise, you take a little bit of handful. You had that also, and you had the spray guns. You know, it means you had all kinds of weaponry, right? You know, so you had a serious arsenal. Okay. The ladies' faces bloomed with shy smiles, enhancing the queen's splendid beauty. The BBT purport states, the maternal cousins referred to here are Krishna and such brothers of his as Gada and Sharana. And the friends mentioned are such persons as Bhima and Arjuna. Right? So they're all close, everybody knows each other kind of persons. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. As the queen squirted water from syringes at their brothers-in-law and other male companions, their own garments became drenched, revealing their arms, breasts, thighs, and waists. In their excitement, the flowers fell from their loosened braids. By these charming pastimes, they agitated those with contaminated consciousness. Right? So, I mean, in other words, all the ones who are taking part aren't agitated. Right? Because the idea is that they see, how you say, everything in connection with Krishna. So the point is, this feminine nature, feminine beauty, femininity itself is all part of just Krishna's energy, and is to be engaged in Krishna's service. So here they're just engaging with devotees in that mood of friendship, because that's the nature in the spiritual world, is friendship. That's the relationship between all living entities and each other. Krishna, you have a specific rasa. But with all other living entities, it's friendship. It may be senior friendship, equal friendship, junior, or confidential, but it's always friendship. Does that make sense? So they just see like that. So they don't have, there's an engaging the senses means you're engaging it for a particular purpose. So with the queens, the engagement of the feminine nature in Krishna's service is between them and Krishna. They have no part in that. It's not part of their thing. So seeing the queens, you know, that their, I say, that femininity is being more and more exposed is not something that will disturb them, because there's no service for them there. Their service is simply in that friendship and that interaction and that fun that's happening there. The festival mood. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Some argue that some ladies, they want to expose their femininity, and they argue it's your program because you are agitated.
Yeah, but then why are they exposing it unless they're agitated? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the need? It's just like this. If a girl is in a situation where the persons that are looking at her she doesn't like, what does she do? She covers herself. You understand? So that she's not covering herself, that means she's quite comfortable that everyone's seeing. So then why there's a complaint? Because otherwise why would you do that? It's either you want them to see or you don't care if they see. Does that make sense? So it's either they're close enough you don't care, or they're inconsequential so you don't care. You know, that's why in the Spanish culture, you know, is that like you don't hear of how you say? At least from what I've heard in the Hispanic culture, if let's say there's some men there and the women are there and the women take off their tops to go swimming, the men consider it insulting. Mm-hmm. That because that means they don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they consider it an insult. So it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't, you know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that either you're inconsequential, they don't care, or there's someone who they'd be happy to see. And so then they should, you know, also along with that, you know, since they're displaying, have a sign that says who they don't want to look at them. You know what I'm saying? So it means, otherwise, how do you know? It's a crowd. You don't know. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point is that it's that some girls that are not dressing nicely, and if you comment that, you know, how nice they look, they're happy. They smile. They're either shy or they're they get enthusiastic or this and that. And the others get all in your face about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you know what you're dealing with here? Now, if the men just, you know, walk around and don't interact with the ladies and like that, then, oh, you're not interacting. So what do you want? So the point is that's why it's only close friends that you know how they deal. So you know when you know, how you say, you just, you know, shot a syringe of colored substances right straight in their face and they give you a look, you know, okay, don't do that again. Right? Rather than, wow, that was fun, you know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of they'll know, they'll adjust. They'll know is that as the ladies are enthusiastic, how to deal. They won't go more than that. They won't go less than that. It's only because they're close. They're friends. They're you know, relatives, so they can interact. You understand? People you don't know, then it doesn't happen. So that's why getting close with those who don't know, that's why it was said before, the professional prostitutes, they're there for that.
Yeah.
They're there, and they come up and close and put things on people and things like that. They won't put it on the other ladies. That, you know, do. They have, you know, you just... You have to... There's decorum.
They are those ones who don't care.
It's not... No. Because they're going to be dealing properly.
Yeah.
The professional... See, here, professional prostitutes aren't... Now what we call professional prostitutes. These ones aren't... You can drive down the street and they're sitting in the window.
Yeah.
Right? Wearing a tiger skin or something.
Okay.
They're not doing that. These ones are dressed just like the queens are.
Okay.
And they're on that level of social status, and that means social status means in behavior. They're prostitutes, but they'll function in that decorum. You know what I'm saying? You have them, even in history, and famous in the French court. There was all kinds of them, these courtesans. Really high grade, refined, moved with the kings. Any other kings visited, they would always be taking part in the service. You know, they're just part of the scene. But at the same time, as they know how to respect the women, the respectable women. I mean, those women who are courtesans will never insult the queen or the other, you know, the ladies of the court. But they know that they know their position. Just like the queens, then they don't get upset with them. Because they do that. Because they're doing this not to catch somebody, not to, you know, like that. They're doing this just to add to the flavor. You understand? And it says some. So those who are inclined, then it's involved there. And those who are not, they're not going over and, you know, going in your face. Because it's not a business for them. You understand? Their system is a lot different. They don't even deal with it. It means the arrangements are made through their people. They don't make the deals.
So different is that they wouldn't be married, or how is, what's...
They're prostitutes.
Okay, they wouldn't be married.
They wouldn't be married. Generally not. They might be, but I mean that's considered. It means for them it's not a problem if they're married. It's just for the husband it's considered not so great. Right? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's like for the lady who's you know, an A-list actress, that she does all quite wild stuff on screen, nobody cares. Everybody's happy about that. But you know, her husband wouldn't necessarily be.
you know. Yeah, so it's just like that. It's just how it works.
One more aspect about these professional prostitutes earlier. It's not that any man can come around them.
Yes,
only
true.
Very those also they require, they need to be self-control, is that?
Yes. It's only the refined, high-class people. Because that's the whole, the higher the class, things like that. Because in the Vedic, there's three levels of prostitutes. So this is the top level. So whenever it mentions these girls are here, or like when Krishna comes to Dwarka and the prostitutes come out, we're talking about these ones. The other ones might be there, but they'll be in the crowd. They'll be up in the rooms. They'll be like this. These are the ones that come forward because they have the culture, the education, the refinement, the character that they can deal on this level. Just somehow or another, it's unfortunate, whatever the situation, they happen to be in this position. Like that. The middle level, then that's a little bit more businessy. The bottom level, then that's what we think of as prostitutes.
Yeah.
Like that. Does that make sense? So it's sensual based.
That's actually common women today.
Yeah, that's another thing. But the point is, it's sensual based. While for these prostitutes, it's cultural based. It's not about sensual at all. It's about the culture, it's about femininity, the refinement of femininity. And there's, as Prabhu mentions, then the men involved have to have that refinement in masculinity, that they're appreciating the femininity. You know what I'm saying? So how they would properly deal at home, they're dealing with them. It's just that these are girls that are not in their circle. That's why they're prostitutes. You understand? And then the middle means it has a little of both. So we're not used to that.
By the generic idea that the men are in control, actually they have the power to control the situation and the men by the behavior.
The girls?
Yes, the girls.
Yeah, of course. It means when it comes to sensual things, girls are always in control. It's just smart girls make it look like the man's in control.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works. Because they're the energy. Means the situation is that what situation you have, that's controlled by the men. What happens in the situation, that's controlled by the women. So the activity is higher than the situation. Though they'll arrange situations, but once they've arranged it, then that's how the men should maintain it. You know, not that they work to arrange it and now the men aren't going to take care of it, not that they do it every time. No, they may do it to show what they like or because of a particular inspiration. Someone did something they liked, so then therefore they make an arrangement. But it's expected that it'll be maintained by the men, not by them. So whatever standard they bring it up to, that becomes standard. Not that, I arrange this one, you arrange the next one. No. You arrange everyone, and if they happen to arrange, then great, now you know what standard you're supposed to be arranging at. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, it's like this. There's one card, and there's one card. Okay? And so that's the equalness. Right? Does that make sense? But all the other cards in the shoe are under the control of the girl. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You all know the shoe? Shoe's where all the cards are. You know, they surf, they deal from the shoe. Yeah. Okay. The rest of the stack is under the girl's control. So what's on the table is equal. That's just how it is. Because Krishna, who does he interact with? He interacts with his energies. He's controlled by his energies. He's controlled by the devotees. That's our philosophy. And that's where the taste is. Right? So if you actually are the controller and enjoyer, then it's wonderful. But if you're another girl who's trying to get in control and enjoy the situation, you don't like the competition. Right? If there's two girls, there's a fight until it's worked out who's senior, who's junior. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is we're interacting, and that girls are acting like this, then we, as the soul being girls, then we don't like it. Because we want to be the controller and enjoyer. Does that make sense? So that's the problem. You know, when you get it, it starts getting weird.
So it comes from there. Krishna doesn't have a problem being controlled by women because it's controlled by affection. Right? But here, it's all about what you're going to get out of it. So therefore, then there may be more of a fight over things. It's not about necessarily the affection. You want to control it, the affection should be there along with it. But in the spiritual, it's just about the affection. And then the activities are in support of that. Well, here we do the activities because it'll get that. But there they do the activities because it'll get a result for Krishna. So it's a different flavor. That's why we say perverted reflection. It looks the same, but it's perverted. It's just, does that make sense? Yeah, it's just makes, yeah. My arm, when I pick something up and put it in my mouth, is feeding me. But in the mirror, the reflection in the mirror, that arm in the mirror, who's it feeding? The reflection. You understand? So that's the thing, is we're doing, it looks the same, we follow the same padati. But the point is we have to understand that that's all for pleasing Krishna. Then, even though we're feeding here, we're feeding there. That's why it says Krishna eats through the mouths of Brahmins. Because they'll see it in relationship to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Okay. Prabhupada mentioned, hinted, there's one prostitute called Lakshahira. Her price was 100,000 diamonds. And Prabhupada further hinted that the customer should also cook for him and feed him. Like they were like repetitive in their interaction.
She would cook.
Yeah, she would cook.
Well, even in yeah. Oh no, it's not expressed there. She just took a bath. But when that story about
leper,
the leper. Then there you see she cooked, yeah. You know, like that. But then she did the strange thing of putting everything in the same preparation in two bowls, a gold one and an iron one. And then when he said, "Why you're doing this? It's the same preparation. It's the same taste." And he says, no, but you prefer the gold one over the iron. He says, no, it's the same. He says, then why do you prefer me over your wife? Yeah. You know, because it's the same. Yeah. Like that. You know, you're looking at the pot. You're not looking at the feminine experience. Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay. We're all good with this or not? Like, yes? No?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, sure.
One question, important question comes up is that this variety of human experience at this jubilation at a festival at after the Agnya or like that, it is for the Kshatriya Vaishnavas, very sophisticated Kshatriya Vaishnava people, but the Acharyas have not recommended it for their followers in the Sampradaya. Like, it should never be applied. Like, is it something like
that? No, because these are... Yeah, because they have the facility for this. Where do you have the facility for this?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and where do you have the passion that this would be exciting for you? Brahmins, they want to get covered from head to foot and all this stuff and then ruin their clothes? You know what I'm saying? You know, they're already happy. Hmm? Yeah, they're already doing that. They already had the Abhishek. They're already covered from head to foot. So now in here, giving in charity. Now the priests, did they get clothes before they started? Yes. Did they get clothes when it ended? Yes. You know. So that's because the clothes they got when it started are ruined by the yajna, and the ones at the end now they can wear. Right? But do we give stuff to the kshatriyas? Not necessarily as a gift and all that. There's stuff there. But here is then they're performing here. Now you give them clothes. So it's just everybody in their place. Yeah, this is thing Kshatriyas do. Yeah. Like that. Vaishyas may do it a little bit. You know? Like that. But generally Brahmins don't get too involved. But, you know, they might a little bit. But it's not like this on this scale. But nobody gets involved on this scale. Because this is also, you have all these people, you have all the guards, you have all the musicians, you have all the servants that are there. You know, it's all happening. It's a very big arrangement. So it's Kshatriya stuff.
Question is asked because somebody has theorized that using the Dwarka first canto, they're saying that the prostitutes are also there in Dwarka, and now this, so that ISKCON should also have facility for
Yeah, but then everybody should be on that Brahminical platform where they're situated there, or on these high grade Kshatriya platforms where then they could interact properly. Because what did the prostitutes do when Krishna comes? They give garlands or, in other words, they do things that by the feminine nature being added to the ceremony, it brings out something, but at the same time as everybody can see, or people they don't know are interacting with them. That's why prostitutes. In a sense. So that's what they're there for. Do we hear anything more happening? No. So then that's the thing. So these guys that are coming up with suggestions to the, you know, how you say, try a cold shower. Like that. Because that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the level of the social interaction, the refinement of that refined femininity. That's what we're talking about. Does that make sense? But the cultural aspect. So they have to know the culture and the dealings, because the second level is just the feminine graces. It's not so much the social thing, it's just that level. These ones work if they publicly maintain it. Otherwise, how do they do it? They do all these things and maintain it. Does that make sense? You know, it's like getting out of the limo. Right onto the red carpet, and there's all the guys there with the cameras and all that. And so they'll move, they'll deal in a cultured way, and this, and smile, and this, and it makes everybody happy. Is anything happening there? No. So that's what we're talking about. So yeah. So we don't have to worry. We already have all that. So the point is that they don't understand. When they think prostitute, they think third grade.
We can consider this high-grade performers like singers and...
Yeah, it's all on that level. And you see, they're married, and it's like let's say, for example, the girls would learn dancing. Like in all culture families, they all learn dancing, especially in South. Music, dancing. But they don't perform. Like that. The ones that perform, they're considered within this first category. And they may be married, have families, and everything like that. That's fine. Just like the upsars, they're in this category. But it's not that they're not married. You know, it's just what they do. And so within that limit, it's just that they're publicly available that you can appreciate their feminine beauty. Does that make sense? You know, they make it... means you couldn't come up to one of these queens and take a picture. Like, you know, the guards would cut your head off. You know what I'm saying? But you came up to one of these professional prostitutes and take a picture. They'd smile. They'd strike a pose. Like that. So that's the difference. So what we call high society before they called prostitutes. And what we call prostitutes, probably even third grade was better than that. In the Vedic, you know. That they didn't smoke, right?
The doubt is because this is all based on culture.
Yeah.
And when Prabhupada came to the West, where there's no culture,
yeah.
And then he saw the girls and he engaged them,
right,
according to whatever nature they had.
Yeah.
And now if.
But is there anything they would do?
No, whatever they wanted.
No, but did you ever see any girls doing yajnas during Prabhupada's time?
No.
Did it ever come up as even an option?
No.
Were they GBCs?
No.
Were they sannyasis? Were they gurus? As diksha? No. So it means you have your limits just because that's what the Shastra says. Anything else, worshipping the deity, they can manage, they can do this and that. All any other services, then that's fine. If they have the nature.
So my question is, because sometimes people attack this. After reading, they say that the girls, they shouldn't do it. They should just sit at home and be normal.
Is this at home?
And so
sit at home, yeah, but then, okay, they could sit at home, and that would be fine as long as the guy who's saying that, when he goes home, then his being there then is basis for a festival. You know what I'm saying? In other words, him being home is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And if it's not, then they should, you know, be a little quiet. Because the point is it's about being engaged in Krishna's service. So how are they engaged at home in Krishna's service? You know what I'm saying? And what does home mean? Here, this is the yajna of their cousin brothers. So they're there. So this is at a festival. So girls won't go to a festival?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would they go to a samskar or a wedding?
Yeah.
So are they arranging that they have nice scents, nice floral oils, were dressed nicely in colorful garments, decorated with garlands, jewels, and ornaments? Has the guy saying that arranged all that? Because it says anytime there's a festival, then the girls have to get nice clothes, ornaments, and dainty foods. Right? Not a monster, you know, spoon glop of, you know, not well-cooked kitchen. You know, fine, refined foods. Right? That's what it says. You know, they want to quote Manu. I'm quoting Manu. That's a verse right in Manu.
355.
Huh?
355.
355. That's fun.
When the girls themselves, they say that.
It's like this.
Always out of proportion.
It's always out of proportion because the point is that if this was so important, right? You know, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying if those persons saying that, they value it so importantly, why aren't they making arrangements that the house is a wonderful place to be in, it has all facilities, they have all kinds of facilities for having friends over, you know, so there's always a social scene going on in the house, or between houses. It's not that they don't go to other people's houses, but it's people who are friends. Krishna didn't take his queens and go to Indraprastha. So, therefore, then is there a fabulous, you know, cultural community scene going on? The only thing people talk about community is money. It's money. When people nowadays talk about we need to develop communities, they mean economics. They don't mean religious culture. You know, you can basically guarantee that that's not the discussion. It's that, no, you're independent, you're out there, you're not dependent on the temple, you get money, it's your money, you do with it as you want. Temple can't tell you how to live your life, do what you do with your money. These are the discussions. Right? You know, because the temple's idea is that all money, you know, if any devotee within the, you know, the radius of their temple before it bumps into a radius from another temple, all that money and effort belongs to us. Even though we don't work for it and they don't care, they're not impressed with what we do, it's our right. Right? And so then the community does the opposite, you know, it's our right to not, you know, so that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing on this political economic platform. But here we're talking, this is Dharma. We're dealing on religion, what's the nature and all that. So therefore, since women tend to be more social, then where's the social environment in the community for this to go on? So what does that take? What does that mean? Lots of money. Lots of time, lots of effort. You know? But people say, no, that's too much trouble. Then we'll come out, no, we're just devotees. We don't get into all this. So there's something like that. Then why are you saying the wife should be at home? That's a Vedic thing. So then do all these Vedic things. No, we don't care for the Vedic. We just chant. So then what are we talking with? Then we're not talking with responsible persons. We're talking about lazy fellows that you know, like in their mind, their mom's always at home. And so therefore, their mom always took care of them, and that's all they did. So their wife should do exactly the same. That's it. So that's the culture you're dealing with. Those people who say that, that's where they're coming from. Now, if they have the broader thing and they say that, and they've created this whole culture for it, then that's fine. Because then it's nice. It's nice being in that environment. So therefore, the men are in that environment also, and they only leave that to get the money to maintain that. If they've got this whole scene going on outside like that, and the women just have to stay at home, then that's cheating. That's not real. So so therefore then you're going to get the opposite. The women are going to come out and take over the men's environment and say it's all equal. Because it's supposed to be, it's all about the home environment, and you go out to make the money. But then, so if you make the career into the big thing, then the women will come out there. They're going to be part of the scene. So either the scenes at home or the scenes at the career, one or the other. And so then you just balance where it is. So the first generation may feel more comfortable and more of a career oriented. That's fine. But with the second generation, that they don't have that experience. They'll pick up some from their parents, but by the third, you'll see it's unnecessary. But you're hoping that by the third, then the boys have also grown up to understand how to deal. So then the culture goes on, culture develops. So that means when everybody has to, it's only through training that it works. Because otherwise, if you don't like the people you're with, why would you make any endeavor? Right? That's the whole point. So why would you keep a nice house if you don't like the people there? Why would you cook nice food? Why would you dress up? Why would you... Hence the increase in track suits amongst the feminine community of the world. In the first world. In the rest of the world, they don't wear track suits. It's only where they don't care. You know, it's easier. But it's not inspiring. So unless you can make it inspiring, then what's the point? You know, if you say, well, that's such hard work, then don't get involved. You know, it's like a horse. You got to brush it every day. You can't not brush it. You know? It's just the way it works. So that's the whole thing. So if you don't want to take care, then don't get involved. That's why you have brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas. You have three ashrams where you don't. Like that. So, you know, like that. So if you pick grihastha, it's very specific. So the point is either way it's wrong to say. It's a proper balance. You know? So that's the difficulty.
So this top class and prostitutes, they are a part of the varnashram in the Vedic culture.
They're part of the varnashram if it's necessary. If it's not necessary, it's not. Like, let's say you're having a drama performance in Kerala. Traditional drama performance. Right? And in the drama, there's going to be men and women. Roles, right? Who are the women played by? Yeah. So that's the whole point. So it's just, there's no need. So it's... It can all go on nicely if it's understood and it's appreciated. And all that. It's not that the girls don't know all that dancing, because otherwise how do you understand the performance? Because the performance is being explained through hand movements and eye movements and stuff like that. So they know it all. So that's why then from, you know, whatever they are, 4 or 6, then up to like 12 or 14, then they learn it all nicely. Because then they know what's going on. They can appreciate. So the better they are at, the more they appreciate the quality of the performance. Like that. They can explain it to, you know, kids that don't know. They can, you know, like that amongst themselves discuss it. It becomes a point for interaction. It's just that it has to be understood what's happening. But otherwise, the point is, since we're trying to just serve Krishna, then whatever capacity we can function in, we do. But we should never try to establish that that is what's going to last for the next 10,000 years, because it won't. As we go down in generations, it's just like somehow when I was a kid, you know, being a hippie was considered something glorious, you know. But then I remember once when I was in Australia, they asked me to give a talk to the local devotee kids, and so all the kids come, you know, sit out on the lawn, all the kids are there. And one of the first questions one of the kids asks, one of the teenage kids is that, kind of in a smirking kind of way, he asked, you know, were you a hippie before you joined? They thought it was the funniest thing. They thought hippies are the funniest thing in the world. You know, it's just like, you know, roll on the ground, you know, point your finger and belly laugh kind of, you know. You know, that was their idea. you know, but when I was a kid, it was considered like a glorious thing, you know, people looking for the absolute, trying to elevate yourself, trying to, you know, be like this. But they thought they were just a joke. So the whole point is the first generation may make all these things and how you have to do this and these, all these different things. Then the next generations are just going to throw it out anyway. So why fight for that? Just do it yourself and then don't worry about it. Why make it into a philosophy? Why, to do it yourself, make a philosophy? If it's not available, then don't do it. You know, it's just like you go down to a company, apply for a job, it's not available, then you, that's it. You go to the next thing. You don't start a whole riot about how, no, I should have this job. Just move on. So that's the whole thing. It's whatever's available, that's what you do. You know. Yes.
I was wondering that now we don't have these, many of us don't have these skills and this train culture like you were talking about, that is going to come in the future.
Yes.
So now, if we've also talking about these small pieces of Harinam and the Brahma, like you said, the Indradyumna Maharaj, for example, is doing on the street, that is the foot preaching. So,
yeah, but like those girls, do they have a problem? It's like this. Okay, let us say you're going down the street in Harinam, the girls are there, and either you stop for a moment in front of one of those big shops with those big windows, and the sun is, you know, the lighting is just right so that your reflection is reflected in that window. Okay? What will the girls do?
Huh?
Yeah, just the sari, check their hair, check everything like that. Okay? The refined Indian girls wouldn't. So the point is that it's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? All it is just they're there, and you can see. But they're still dressing properly, behaving properly, and everything like that.
I was just wondering, is it okay that we take part? Like, you know, we have a little story about Lord Chaitanya's pastime.
It's, if it works in the environment you're in, if you're in a Western environment, no one's going to care.
Right.
But we're saying, like, let's say in a performance here,
right,
you wouldn't do it.
No,
you know, so in other words, if the environment doesn't know, it doesn't matter. But if they do know, then you adjust. So this whole thing is, it has to be one or the other. The point is you use them as they're available. So that you don't necessarily do that, then that's not there. It's not that the girls, now if the girls get together and have a girls, all girls program, do they not do some dramas?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then they're happy.
Yeah.
Like that. And that's more fun than these, you know, how you say, formal public dramas. Because those are a real trip. Those are a nightmare. You know? So makes sense. Well, here it's just it's close friends and all that, and so you're doing, and so then, and you know, and yeah, does that make sense? And
yeah,
even if you want to extend it, then close family members or stuff like that that are known and that not formal, then you put on that drama with them, it would be fine. But once it gets into the formal kind of thing, that's when it loses that taste. The girl does not get the taste.
Understood.
And that's the whole point. So the thing is they can both be there, but the one is the public thing of not being used, that's the general standard. And then being in more private, then that's the general standard. But you use them as they're available. But it doesn't mean you can, because the one is there, it goes beyond that. Does that make sense? You know, so what's described here is as far as things go. But when, you know, Prabhu was mentioning devotees bring up, hey, we should have these, I think they're thinking a little bit beyond this. Yeah, so that's nonsense. So it's up to this particular point. You know what I'm saying? So like that. So the girls are going out, they're in Harinam, they're in the front. But the point is you're bringing out the femininity. So they put on the nice, the gopi dots and things like that, and dress nicely in something colorful. They don't look like they're going to a funeral and things like that. But it's not that they're not dressed properly, you know, or they're behaving badly or making funny looks at the guys around and stuff like that. You know, they're not doing a belly dance or something. Yeah. So, yeah. Probably a lot of those girls that are on that Harinam could do a belly dance, but they're not, because they're devotees. So that's what I mean. It's like that. But it's also how you deal with them, how you do it means what the culture. Okay, they're there. But now, when you get, okay, now the Hari Nam is over. Okay? And you have general buses. Let's say you don't have designated buses. Okay? So when the Hari Nam party with all those girls and all the boys there get to the bus, then who would get on the bus first? The girls. But now if the boys get on, because it's, you know, we're the boys and we're not going up, then this is misapplication. Like that. You know, if they're going through an area where it's a little bit more rough, you don't know how people are going to behave, you don't put the girls in the front or the back. They go in the middle. So these are considered, they're all cultural things, but it's just that far. But it's just a matter of, you know, it's not that, oh, if there's any interaction, then it can be anything. No, it's that there's only how much is required. That's culture. So that's what we're talking about. So if that's seen, then things go nicely. The girls are happy, they go out, they take part, and they're fine. But now if they get left behind in the bus, they're going to start freaking out. They're at the back, and all these guys, drunks, are coming up and harassing them. And the brahmacharis don't care. You know, then what's the point? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in order to observe the great ceremony, many wives of the demigods had come in different airplanes, and they were visible in the sky. Similarly, the queens of the royal family, gorgeously decorated and surrounded by bodyguards, arrived on different palanquins. During this time, Lord Krishna, the maternal cousin of the Pandavas, and his special friend Arjuna were both throwing the liquid substances on the bodies of the queens. The queens became bashful, but at the same time, their beautiful smiling brightened their faces. Because of the liquids thrown on their bodies, the saris covered them became completely wet. The different parts of their beautiful bodies, particularly their breasts and their waists, became partially visible because of the wet cloth. The queens brought buckets of the same liquid substances and with syringes sprinkled them on the bodies of their brothers-in-law. As they engaged in such jubilant activities, their hair fell loose, and the flowers decorating their bodies began to fall. When Lord Krishna, Arjuna, and the queens were thus engaged in these jubilant activities, persons who were not clean in heart were agitated by lustful desires. In other words, such behavior between pure males and pure females is enjoyable, but it makes persons who are materially contaminated become lustful. So in other words, it's part of the pure culture that they could deal on this platform, because then it's just interacting, because one is interacting with friends is always fun. But when you interact between friends, when you have the aspect of the masculine and feminine, it adds another flavor. Right? Because you have that bashfulness of the girls, the aggressiveness of the boys, but then after the bashfulness, then the girls will become aggressive, and then the boys have to step back, you know, they become fearful. And then, you know, so it just keeps going back and forth, the battle. So it adds to the flavor. So if you're pure, then it's only seen in that context. But if you're not pure, then it creates lustful desires. So that's why then the acharyas don't recommend it. You know, not that it can't be done, it's just who's qualified. You know, does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that it's not an integral part, it's just one of those natural functions that are there in festivals. But it's not that, oh, you have to have this. You know, so it's just it's there naturally on its own. So, and if you don't have these, then you see in a simpler way, then like Krishna and the gopis or the other queens, they go and splash water and things like that. So they don't have all these, because this is a big festival. It's a big yajna. So all these things would be available. If it was something more simple or samskar, then they'd just go down to the river to bathe the avabrita, and then they might just splash water. The point is, something's being sprinkled. It's just a matter of whether it's, you know, because it mentions oils with liquid something like water. Then you throw in oil, milk, butter, and yogurt, so you know, in the kumkum yogurt. But if you're just not, then it's just water will work. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Okay. The emperor mounted upon his chariot drawn by excellent horses wearing golden collars. appeared splendid in the company of its wives. Like that, the horse, just that, the thing that around the horses. Now, those are huge. And that's just made out of gold. So they had to be strong horses also. Right? Appeared splendid in the company of his wives. Just like the brilliant Rajasuya sacrifice surrounded by its various rituals. The priest led the king through the execution of the final rituals of Patni, Samyaja, and Avabritya. So they first went down and sported. Now they do the, they did ritual, then there's a break, they were sporting, and now they'll do the final rituals with the bath. Then they had him and Queen Draupadi sip water for purification and bathe in the Ganges. The kettle drums of the gods resounded, along with those of human beings. Demigods, sages, forefathers, and humans all poured down showers of flowers. All the citizens belonging to the various orders of Varna and Ashram then bathed in that place, where even the most grievous sinner can immediately be freed from all sinful reactions. Footnote 11. Excuse me. After Yudhishthir bathed, the Brahmins and others bathed, who also were of different ashrams. Those outside the Varnas and ashrams also bathed, but not at the same time. They bathed later. In Vishnu Purana, it is said that Shatadanva became purified after he was born as a peacock by bathing at this time, since at the Avabritya places, even the greatest sinner is freed from all sins. So this whole point of the Avabritya is a very major point. So everybody, even the sinful people, come for it. Just they bathe afterwards. It's not the, oh, unless you bathe at the same exact moment, then you'll get that benefit. No, it's that. Does that make sense? So it's who's on that platform. That then they bathe. Then the next. It's all one ritual. So whoever bathes connected with that, then they're free from all sin. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. What to speak of doing so under the supervision of Yudhishthir and Vyas, right? So anyone you get, now this is sermon where it's Yudhishthir and Vyas, so even more. What to speak of the Avabritya bath taking place in the Ganga? So then you add on to the Ganga. What to speak of having the presence of Krishna, right? So add that all together, it's like people are bathing and, you know, becoming, you know, very, very elevated. So, next, the king put on new silken garments and adorned himself with fine jewelry. He then honored the priests, assembly officials, learned Brahmins, and other guests by presenting them with ornaments and clothing. So he took his bath, they showed him how to do, and then he dresses properly in that, and once he's dressed, now he gives everything to them. Not that he comes out in his gumshoe or stuff like that.
So Maharaj, what clothes he was wearing before? Which was sharing that he gives to...
That would be left. Yeah, that would be given to the performance. It means, it doesn't say it here, but it says it in that, in the, I think it's the 90th chapter.
Last
chapter. In various ways, King Yudhishthir, who had totally dedicated his life to Lord Narayana, continuously honored his relatives, his immediate family, the other kings, his friends and well-wishers, and all others present as well. So he's constantly doing it because he's constantly absorbed in Krishna. So therefore he's constantly absorbed in seeing everybody in connection with Krishna. So therefore he's always dealing with everybody very, very wonderful.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.